You're listening to New England Public Radio News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is the shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. Joining us today, Chris Collins, columnist with the Greenfield Recorder, and Natalia Munoz, host of Via Con Munoz on WHMP. Welcome to you both.
Hello.
Thank you.
This week, Holyoke, Massachusetts Mayor Alex Morse announced he's challenging Springfield Democratic Congressman Richard Neal in the 2020 primary. Morse says he won't accept campaign donations from corporate political action committees, or PACs, and criticized Neal for relying on such funds.
I think they're thinking more about how to pay back the corporate PACs and special interests rather than voting with the people in mind here, whether it's on health care or climate change or a whole host of issues that I'd support as a member of Congress.
Chris, Neal, as of last month, had nearly $4 million in his campaign account. He leads the influential House Ways and Means Committee. And if you look at past elections, he really hasn't had much trouble getting reelected. How do you rate Morse's chances?
I don't know. I mean, I think that Alex probably has a better chance than most being a sitting mayor. I think he's got some good political skills. I love the fact that he's challenging a sitting congressman. No one should be able to just walk into office every 2 years. Having said that, $4 million and having a lock on Springfield, that's going to be a tough order.
Natalia, Morse is calling for President Trump to at least undergo impeachment proceedings, something Neal has stopped short of endorsing. And Morse is also critical of how cautious Neal has been as he tries to pursue the president's tax returns. How important could these issues be in this race?
They're fundamental because we're talking about democracy. And that is the... Our democracy has been in play ever since Trump got into the White House. And to add on to what Chris said, what are the chances of Alex Morse unseating Neal? They actually could be very, very good also. We actually do not know because we don't have crystal balls in front of us. But that Neal has $4 million already, well, Alex Morse has also proven time and again he can raise a lot of money from on a grassroots level. So this is a race that I really feel uncomfortable calling this early. He just announced last week.
Right. And in terms of his ability to raise funds, if you're not going to take funds from big PACs or big corporations, then you're setting yourself up, I think, at a disadvantage. But I respect why he's doing it. I think it's good optics, but whether or not it's going to be good in terms of putting money in the bank, I don't know.
Also this week, the governor of Puerto Rico resigned amid a scandal and widespread protests on the island and the mainland. Puerto Rico is dealing with bankruptcy and has struggled to recover after Hurricane Maria nearly 2 years ago. Natalia, does this have any impact on Puerto Rican families living in New England who have either been here a long time or relocated after the hurricane?
Yes, but first of all, this is not the mainland. This is the United States and Puerto Rico is an island. This is not the mainland. I know the media uses that term a lot. It's not correct. Yes, it does. Just recently, there were two big protests in Springfield and in Holyoke, people also calling for the governor of Puerto Rico to resign. What happens in Puerto Rico has an effect in the United States because there are 5 million of us here, and vice versa. What happens to us here has an effect in Puerto Rico, so that if, say, we don't vote in big numbers, that has an effect because it's the federal government that decides how much Medicaid funding is going to go to Puerto Rico, how much FEMA money is going to go to Puerto Rico. It's a symbiotic relationship. We need each other.
Chris, in terms of elections, we're just speaking about that. Could this be an issue for the federal contests around New England?
I think that it's not going to be as much of an issue because I think Democrats are going to take a lot of these contests in New England, especially in the presidential race. And we know the Trump administration's handling of situations in Puerto Rico, especially with regard to natural disasters, has not been good. And I don't think there's a whole lot of goodwill banked in the Puerto Rican community with the Republicans. So I don't think it's going to be that much of an issue.
We move on to something that's been in the news a lot lately in Massachusetts. Transportation. A legislative committee held a hearing this week into the Registry of Motor Vehicles' failure to, among other things, address out-of-state driving violations by the state's drivers. Only some of those who were asked to testify didn't show up, and those that did were said they were limited in what they could say because of an ongoing investigation. Natalia, this didn't sit well with lawmakers, and there's going to be another attempt at a hearing next week. What's your take on how transportation officials handled themselves?
They handled themselves very poorly. They handled themselves just like their own department. They reflected perfectly what they're about. They're non-responsive. When the legislature calls you, a committee calls you to come in and talk with them, you show up because you are a public servant.
Chris, between the ongoing problems at the MBTA and troubles at the registry, how would you grade how Governor Charlie Baker's handled all of this?
I think he's tried to stay out of it, but he can't because it's happening on his watch. And that, I think, has been the thing that has not been talked about enough, is that Baker has sort of stuck his head in the sand on this thing a little bit. Look, there's ways the legislature could compel testimony through subpoenas. They could have closed hearings. But the real way you fix this, the real way you get action, is you cut funding. That's the biggest thing that the legislature could do and hasn't.
Natalia?
Ooh, good point. No, I like what Chris said. Yeah, hardball.
That's the only way to do it.
And also, while we're talking about transportation, a committee looking into expanded Boston to Pittsfield rail service this week unveiled six options and said they're going to look into them a little bit more. Chris, these are all proposals at this point. There's no price tags on any of them right now. But was there one or two that caught your eye?
No. Six options. I mean, look, I understand the desire to do this, but I think if you're going to do it right. And that's one thing that hasn't happened with the Knowledge Corridor. You've got a train that's been running up and down 91 up through to Vermont all the way back to New York City, and there aren't enough runs. I mean, if you can learn anything, look at that situation. If you're going to actually be serious about East-West Rail, get a proposal that stops everywhere and has multiple runs, and maybe you have a chance of making this happen.
Natalia?
Oh, my goodness, what Chris said. Sorry. It's just, you said it so well.
Well, how important is it to continue to build rail service in Western Massachusetts?
Again, it's essential. It's essential. The way that the future is looking in terms of jobs, a lot of people, you know, you need to go to places where the jobs are. It's not, most people are not working from home. They have to get in the car and go someplace. Boston has a lot of jobs. Worcester is getting more jobs. We need to create mechanisms for people to be able to get to work.
People don't take the train, by the way, because they like it. They take it because they need to, because it's a way to if you don't have a car, you don't have other means of transportation, it's a method of transportation. People don't ride the T because they love the experience.
Exactly.
Unless you have a train fetish.
Next time, just Chris can come. Whatever Chris says, I agree with.
All right, Chris Collins of the Greenfield Recorder and Natalia Munoz of Viacom Munoz on WHMP. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you,
Adam.
And thank you, our loyal listeners of The Shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. And remember, you can catch us at any time, wherever you get your podcast, or at nepr.net/podcast hub. Also, listen to Beacon Hill and 5, our weekly check-in at the Massachusetts State House. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Radio.